WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. That's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Oh, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it's really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us, sir. How are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome and good evening. You are tuned into Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD. We have an economy size Monday Night Talk view, so we will be going to the top of the hour. But fear not, it's action packed. Now, actually, we have some great guests because it's 7 o'clock. That could be action packed. Maybe you might want to tune in for that. Well, you tune in for both. But we have two Democrats who are going to square off, who want the party nod for the first Plymouth District State Representative seat. We have in this corner Stephen Michael Palmer. And in the other corner is Art, work with me here, Dislogis. I think I said it right, Dislogis. And these two are going to be squaring off because they want you to vote for them come the primary in September. Can't believe it's like the primary is like right after Labor Day. It's kind of crazy. But that's what all these marbles are for. Actually, the next few weeks, many of the Monday Night Talk shows will be somewhat abbreviated. But I think what we're going to do is we're going to keep them candidate-focused. Like tonight. Tonight is candidate-focused. So the first hour, focus on candidates for office. And then you'll hear a forum with candidates for office. It's like a concept. It's crazy. We start things off right after traffic with Renee Hamilton. Chris Doughty. Chris is a Republican gubernatorial candidate. He's going to be calling in. We'll get his take on as to what things, how things are going out on the campaign trail. If you are someone who follows the Republican Party, last week they actually had the two candidates for governor squared off as Howie Carr served as the moderator. Howie on another radio station on the AM dial. So we kind of get put our finger on the pulse as to what's going on with the Republicans who are running for office for governor. Because following Chris Doughty, we have Jeff Deal, who is also a Republican candidate for office. And he actually, I believe that Jeff was the one who actually won the party nomination when they had the convention just a few months ago. But both of them were able to get enough to be able to be on the ballot. So they're squaring off and they're doing battle to see who is going to get the nod once again for the primary. I believe it's September 6th. So we're looking forward to doing that. But as it stands right now, we're closing in. We're going to find out one final time how things are looking out on the roadways. And we know it's very, very warm. But we want to know how is our evening traffic doing as we try to get home, being brought to you on this end by Brennan Smoke Shop, with locations in Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, New Bedford, Weymouth, and now Hudson, New Hampshire.
Listen, guys, some of us aren't even in the first quarter of our lives. Some of us, me, are just getting to halftime. These people over here are the biggest part of the team, and they're at the end of their fourth quarter. We got to get up off the bench and start playing this game hard, because if we don't, we're going to lose this game of life. of survival. We don't sit on the bench and watch our teammates lose. We get up and we play harder and we work harder than the other team. We play every quarter like it's the fourth quarter. Home runs, knockouts, strikeouts, hat tricks, triple plays, Hail Marys, QB sack in the fourth quarter, interceptions, half court shots. Let's go, guys. Let's go. We need the whole team off the bench and in the game today. Brennan's Smoke Shop, Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, New Bedford, and now in Hudson, New Hampshire. Brennan's Smoke Shop, the best smoke shop in Massachusetts and New Hampshire. Customers must be 21 years of age or older, and proper ID is required.
Be a part of the show. Call and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk.
Right, we return. As we teased, we are going to be, it's candidates. We're here to talk with folks, and joining us, first one out of the chute, is Chris Doughty. Chris is a Republican gubernatorial candidate, and we're looking forward to catching up with him, the latest things happening with the campaign. Chris, welcome back to the radio program.
Hey, thanks so much. So good to be here with you, Kevin.
So let's start things off hot. Your campaign released a statement today that you are going to do something very brave. You and your running mate, Kate Campanelli, you guys are going to take the MBTA this Wednesday. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes, we are. We know how important the MBTA is for Massachusetts, on the eastern part of our state. We had 671,000 trips in the month of April, and, it's a big deal for our state. And I've got great empathy for those that ride the MBTA for their commutes to and from work and how much it impacts everyone's life if it's not running well.
How important is public transit to the Doughty campaign?
Oh, it's critically important. In our state, it's the lifeblood of our economy, particularly in the Boston area. Fortunately for me, I have a lifetime career of doing turnarounds of businesses that are industrial, that are capital intensive, that have financial problems, and have employee engagement problems. So this problem on the MBTA very much speaks to my skill set. So I'm anxious to get into the chair and start working on it.
Let's talk about last week. You had a radio debate. You had it on Howie Carr. We, of course, it's a no-no to say what the call letters are, but yourself and your opponent, $54 question. How did it go?
Oh, I think it went great. You know, being the one in the debate, it's a little hard to measure, but afterwards everyone came out that we had done really well, and then the following day Howie had come out and said that we had won. And, during the debate, I've been calling for debates for so long, before the convention and after the convention, and we've had over 8 media organizations offer debates. I've accepted all of them, and my opponent has not accepted any of them but the one that we had. So, unfortunately, it looks like for the Republican voters, that was the extent of the debates that he'd be willing to accept. And so I've been saying all along, I have no idea why he doesn't want to debate, but I do know this, that having debates and engaging with the press and the media and being able to answer the difficult and hard questions and defending yourself is part of the job of being governor. What governor is there that doesn't have to stand up and face the press and face the music and defend their record? And so I feel like his unwillingness to debate really disqualifies him from being governor, because it's such an important part of what you have to do for the job.
But isn't it kind of the political jousting where the two campaigns, it's a chess match as to, well, we'll set up a date, but debate. And again, I've seen many campaigns and I've seen many skirmishes between, especially leading up to the primary, same party, combatants. Where it's a matter of trying to get, to take advantage of your situation. Do you think that's what it is?
I'm not sure, what the motivation is, but another concern I'm sure that my opponent has is that when he ran against Elizabeth Warren, he lost every single debate by a significant margin. And even when he ran in his own state Senate district, which included his own hometown, he lost that also. So part of it might just be, you know, being a little afraid of past history.
Let's talk about something that you recently have offered to the public. A new option to be able to interact with you and running mate Kate Campanelli, a voter chat box. What is that about?
Yeah, it's kind of fun. It's a, you know, it's a technology that a lot of businesses use where you go on the website and you can chat directly by via text almost right on the website with the with someone in customer service. But in a election, it hasn't been used before, where you can go online periodically when I'm available. And we can chat directly right from your right from the website. So it's kind of fun. Makes it a little more interactive and also a little more high tech and a little more current.
So it's being bandied about that the state is going to look to give money back to the taxpayers. What's your thought on that motive that the state, the legislature, is looking to give money back to the taxpayers here in the Commonwealth?
Well, I'm grateful that finally, after all the discussion about tax reductions, they're at least beginning to talk about it. So many other states in America have done significant tax reductions, and this is just a very small drop compared to what the other states have been doing. So it feels a little small, it feels a little late. And it feels a little bit suspicious that it's occurring right around the time of the elections. You know, it's funny how the state legislature has passed policies that have cost us all thousands and thousands of dollars. Take, for example, utilities. All of us we pay one of the highest electric rates in America, significantly more than all the other states. And it can cost people hundreds of dollars a month. To even $200-$300 a month. But yet, instead of coming in and apologizing and fixing that problem, they offer a small $250 rebate. I think most of us would say, look, keep the $250, but go fix the policy issues that are making our state so unaffordable. You know, we're one of the most expensive states in the country. You know, for all of us here that live in Massachusetts, 90% of what we're purchasing, we pay more than 90% of our fellow Americans. That includes groceries, electricity, all of our utilities, medical care, transportation, just about everything's more expensive than it needs to be. And that's the hallmark of my campaign. That's really why I'm here. So a small $250 check for a year, it's nice, but it's small, and it doesn't really deal with the significant problem we're all suffering with. It's just the how unaffordable our state has become.
Again, if you're just tuning in, we are speaking with Chris Doughty. He is a Republican candidate for governor here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and we're chatting with him, getting a little bit of an update as to how things are going with the campaign. What are you hearing from the voters at this late date? What are some of the things that they're saying to you, and what are some of the primary, paramount issues that you're hearing more and more as we draw closer to the primary day?
Well, you know, it's the same thing I've been hearing all along. It hasn't changed much, but it really, I think if I had to highlight two key areas, I would say one is the cost of living in Massachusetts and the cost of operating a business in Massachusetts. You know, right now we're ranked 49th out of 50 states as being business friendly. We are one of the most expensive states in the country for businesses also. And it's been a bit heartbreaking for me because it's not just Raytheon and Smith and Wesson and the big names that are planning on leaving, but even the small and mid-sized businesses. I talk to them all day long, and they talk about how, you know, they're looking at leaving also to Tennessee and Virginia and New Hampshire and Florida. You know, I was with three business owners about a week ago with Kate Campanelli, and we were going through their large manufacturing facilities out in central Massachusetts. And I asked them at the end of the tour, I said, if you could go back in time and start your business in another state, would you? And you know what all three of them said? They said they would. They wish that their business had been founded in another state. And it absolutely broke my heart that these are really just marquee businesses, mid-sized businesses in our state that wish they were located somewhere else. So I want to fix it. And I believe that we need a businessman like myself that's been in industry and has been in the free market and been trying to compete for all these years in our state to come in I know how to fix it. I know where the problems are, and I don't want to lose these businesses. Also, I don't want them to feel like they wish they'd started somewhere else. So I think that's one message I hear all the time, and I feel it in my heart. The second one is how so many people in our state do not want single-party control. Even the moderate Democrats and all the unenrolled voters, the independent voters and the Republicans all tell me the same thing, is that it's important to have a backstop, someone that's fiscally responsible like myself that can be a check on our legislature. People know that our legislature right now is more liberal than California. We could easily look like San Francisco if we didn't have sort of a fiscally responsible, conservative governor in the governor's seat. So, you know, I hear those things all the time, and they're both very encouraging for me in my campaign, because I come from the business background, and also I'm fiscally responsible, and I can be a backstop to the things that the state legislature wants to do.
Is there something that can be done to assist businesses, to grow businesses? And what kind of business would you like to lure if you are, you know, if you do take the governorship come November?
Well, love that question, Kevin. Thanks so much. There are three constraints to economic growth and development in Massachusetts. Number one is affordability, which we were talking about. The second one is utility costs, the high costs of utilities here. And three is the regulatory and tax burdens in our state. We feel like we are not as business friendly as Virginia, Tennessee, Florida, these other states. These other states really roll out the red carpet for businesses to come down. I mean, if you read what Virginia has done to encourage Raytheon to move down there, and many other businesses in our state are looking to move down to their commonwealth, it's just a very pro-business, pro-energy culture. So those are the things I would work on. Now, the types of businesses depends on where you are. I think in Boston, biotech and finance have done well. I think in the middle part of our state, manufacturing and bio research, data centers. Down in the southern part of the state, New Bedford, the blue economy. Same with the Cape. I think there's opportunities for the blue economy. So I think a little bit depends on where you are and where the jobs, you know, what kind of industries would fit for that part of our state.
Any concern about a recession? I know I just said the R word, but seeing that we're seeing interest rates go up, we're seeing the high cost of living go up, we're seeing that it's a struggle to find housing. I think the next thing to worry about is, you know, our economy slowing down. Any thoughts of that, that could be something that, you know, if you are to take office, it'll be something you're dealing with in the first 6 months of your term?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to be a pessimist, but I've lived through three recessions myself, and I know how impactful they are in people's lives, particularly when you're a senior citizen. This one will be unusual because it'll be a recession with high inflation, what they call stagflation, and we haven't experienced this really since the 70s. But boy, when you have high inflation and a recession, it is bone-crushing, and I think there's a good chance that we might have that. I believe inflation is going to stay with us for a long time, and an interest rate hike, which is needed to slow down the inflation rate, will really have a direct impact on our economy. So I'd say there's a very, very good chance that the next governor of Massachusetts will need to get us through a significantly difficult economic period. And I just want to say to the listeners and the voters, I'm ready for it. This is what I'm trained for. I've lived through recessions. It's all about jobs, jobs, jobs. The governor of Massachusetts needs to be the top salesman of the state to bring in jobs. I've always said that on my business card, it'll say governor, but underneath it, it'll say president of sales and recruiting in businesses and bringing in job opportunities for our citizens. We look for our governors to do that. And I'll tell you, as I've gotten to know the governors in other states, they are competitive. They are out hunting our businesses all the time. Funny story, about December of last year, I got a call from North Carolina, and they said, we'd like to fly you down and show you some land, and they would like to recruit you down here and bring what jobs you want, but we have a great workforce that we can train for you down here. I have felt that if the citizens of Massachusetts knew how competitive the other states are to take our jobs, they'd be as worried and concerned as I am.
Let's talk about, you got a little over a month until the primary. Well, what are you looking forward to on this stretch to the primary on September 6th?
Well, there's so many interesting things going on right now. We've been putting out our platform ideas. This is my favorite part of the campaign, is actual solving problems. I don't come from this as a career politician. I come from it from the business world, where I like to solve problems. And so we rolled out recently a small business bill of rights to show what we'd like to do for small businesses. We laid out a Cape Cod plan for how we want to balance the needs of the Cape. We're rolling out a Western Mass plan recently. We have in the works right now an MBTA turnaround plan that we'd like to offer up to the citizens. I have one of my favorite that's coming is an housing affordability plan. And I'm really anxious to start laying out some ideas for everyone on how we can make housing more affordable so we can compete there. So anyway, this part of the campaign is my favorite part, is we start talking about solutions and let people see what we want to do. My hope is when people go to the voting booth, they don't just vote for Chris Doty, but they vote for Chris Doty's ideas. You know, that they say, those are the types of things I believe in, and I agree with him that we should go that direction. We don't want to be like San Francisco. We want to be a competitive, successful, prosperous state.
Yeah, and if you're just tuning in, we are speaking with Chris Doty. He is a candidate for governor here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, a Republican. If folks want to find out more about your campaign, or if they want to find out where your next stops will be, and maybe they can come and greet you in person, I'm sure that's something the campaign enjoys.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. Well, we hope if anybody would like to know more about our campaign, and we've been building up a lot of momentum recently, so we're just anxious to have as many join us as possible. But my website is chris4ma.com. So it's chris4ma.com. And you can sign up as a volunteer or just sign up for emails, also lawn signs and bumper stickers. We have a couple of big events coming up. We have Chris Sununu is coming down next week on August the 3rd. And we're going to be doing an event with him. It'll be a little bit different, though. What we're going to do is we're going to have a fireside chat on how Massachusetts and New Hampshire can work together to improve the lives of people on both sides of the border. So it'll be interesting. We'll talk about energy. We'll talk about healthcare, job workforce development, and you know, how the states can support and help each other. So we welcome everyone to that on the night before August 2nd. We have a town hall meeting, which would be, since my opponent won't debate me, it'll feel a little bit like a debate where I'll be there and we'll have the media and other citizens come to that town hall meeting and just ask questions, and hard questions and easy questions about my ideas and what we want to do and where we want to take the state. So anyway, we have a lot of things coming up that we hope people will join us for.
And again, just a reminder that this Wednesday, you will be in Braintree, jumping on one of the commuter trains. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct. We'll take it from Braintree into the South Station. We'll have a meeting with the press, and we're going to outline not a really detailed plan, but just some broad categories to start talking about a turnaround in the MBTA. And it's not necessarily a turnaround as if it's a failed organization, but it's the next level of improvement. And every organization can improve, and our MBTA can improve. And so we want to start laying out some ideas for the writers and also, you know, all those that have an active interest in the MBTA of what we can do with it to get it on sound financial footing, but also to increase the reliability and the safety. I was meeting with some business owners last week, and several of them said that their daughters or the women in their office were not feeling comfortable getting on our subways because there's been some deterioration, some safety concerns. And, you know, we need to fix those things. We need to make sure everyone feels really safe to get on the T, and make sure that they feel comfortable and that it's reliable and that they can be dependable in their work.
Well, Chris, we want to thank you for joining us and bringing us up to speed as to where things stand with your campaign.
Well, Kevin, it's great to talk to you and appreciate those insightful questions. I look forward to coming back.
You got it. There he is, Chris Doughty, candidate for governor, Republican candidate for governor. We're going to step aside when we come back, candidate number two. You are tuned into Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host Kevin Tachi on 95.9 WATD.
That truck, it pays?
What?
The bumper sticker on that truck says it pays.
Pays? Pays what?
I can't quite read it. Oh, it pays to stay way back.
Ah, what was that?
The truck snapped back a rock. Now I've got a broken windshield.
I'm Peter Brown of Tiny & Sons Auto Glass in Pembroke. It pays to stay way back. However, if your windshield is broken, just call 1-888-64-TINYS. And thank you.
Each year, about one out of two men and one out of three women will develop cancer. But there's good news. Today's cancer survival odds are much better than 2 or even 3 years ago. Things move that fast. So if you're diagnosed, be sure to have someone in your corner who is on top of all the latest cancer treatments and techniques, the latest research, the newest equipment, all the newest medicines available through clinical trials. And speaking of corners, here's more good news. Advanced cancer care is now just around the corner. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare treats patients locally, with all oncology services and specialties conveniently housed under one roof. The center is affiliated with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, so you'll be seen by Harvard Medical Faculty physicians and oncologists. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare, in affiliation with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. Cancer has just met its match. Find out why at mysignaturecare.org/cancercare.
Hi, my name is Alex Byzantin, and I'm running for Plymouth County Commissioner. I am the former chairman of the Abington Conservation Commission, former Abington Water Commissioner, and now serving in my second term as Abington Selectman. I am currently serving on the executive board of the Plymouth County Advisory Board. If you would like to learn more about my candidacy, please visit my website at alexbyzantin.org or follow me on Facebook. I am Alex Byzantin for Plymouth County Commissioner, and I approve this message.
Listen for the sound of the sizzle. It's a grill and chill summer here at WATD. When you hear the sizzle, be the correct caller and win prizes from Plymouth Patuxent Museums, Somewhere Else Tavern, Superior Lobster Memorial Hall in Plymouth, Barker Tavern, Six Flags Amusement Park, Station 8 Restaurant, Loon Mountain Resort, and Whale's Tail Water Park. As each prize winner is qualified to win a Weber Genesis grill from Hingham Lumber. Keep listening through the grand prize drawing during the South Shore's morning news on August 19th. It's a grill and chill summer. Brought to you by Hingham Lumber on your station with the sizzle. 95.9 WATD. Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959WATD.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And we are back. Hey, don't forget, top of the hour, we have the Democrats running for the first Plymouth District State Rep seat. Stephen Michael Palmer. Art Deslogis. I hope I said that right, Art. Sorry. They're going to be a political forum. Christine James, your moderator, and I'll sit in with Charlie. Charlie Matheson, and we'll get to that in just about 18 minutes. But right now,
that's when the fireworks start.
That's when the fireworks start. You might be able to get a front row seat. Perfect. That voice is Jeff Deal. He is the other GOP candidate for governor, and he is here in studio to join us and give us an update, the latest with the campaign. How is the campaign going?
Oh, Kevin, thanks. First of all, it's great to be back on WATD. I feel like I've been away too long, even though even after I lost the race for U.S. Senate to Liz Warren, I think I came in here and still was doing some of those political shows and stuff in the evening. So I'm never too far away from WATD and the great listener base. But you, Kevin, I think I'm overdue. So this is great. I have a chance to talk. And the campaign's going well, so I thank you for that.
So it's interesting to say.
In fact, I'm sorry. I should cut in one more thing. I had my best month ever in June. 10 times fundraising my opponent other than what he's putting in out of his own pocket with donors. I got 5,000 donors. He's got 500. And also 3 times polling, 55% to his 18% according to WCVB UMass Amherst poll. So things on the primary side look great. And I think right now, too, Democratic Party nationally is having a real trouble finding their messaging. Their president doesn't seem to be doing well. And that usually tends to lead towards a significant gain for Republicans in midterm years like this. And I think even in Massachusetts, we're going to be seeing a significant success by the Republican candidates.
It's also worth noting, since the last time you and I talked, you have gained a running mate.
I have. You know, and I got to tell you, that's really a unique experience, because for years as state representative, you know, it was just me, just little old me, yep, coming in and talking with you. Now I have somebody who is an awesome partner that's going to work with me on Beacon Hill to make sure that the people of Massachusetts are fully listened to. And Leah Cole Allen is someone who I served with in the legislature. She won a state rep seat in a special election. She actually won the seat back again the next election cycle. And she decided to go back after her time in the legislature to work in nursing. She got her nursing degree. She was serving pregnant, actually, during the pandemic. Wow. And she was actually on a COVID floor working with COVID patients. This is before the vaccines were available, of course. She had the baby, was nursing, and the vaccines came out, and she opted not to get the vaccine because she wasn't sure of the effects on the child she was nursing. She was fired for that. And, you know, so one of the things that I've been talking about for many months now is that I just felt that government should not get between you and your healthcare decisions, especially these first responders in Boston, the police, the firefighters, but every state worker around the state that was fired for not getting vaccinated. I thought that that was completely wrong to have your job on the line if you felt that that vaccine was not the right healthcare for you. I mean, some people have had adverse reactions to it. So on day one, as governor, I will be rehiring every state worker that lost their job. And on day two, I will be getting rid of anybody in the administration who thought that was actually a good idea. I can tell you that right now.
You know, it's worth noting that there was your campaign actually released a press release calling for the governor to reject the pork. What does that statement mean? Reject the pork. Are we talking pet projects, spending money foolishly? What does this mean?
Yeah, so this is no stranger to what I've been talking about for a long time when I was in office, and that is the fact that Beacon Hill is not always responsive to the people's needs. When I was serving on the finance committee in the town of Whitman, you know, I was the liaison to the school board. We felt like we weren't getting the resources from Beacon Hill that they should be allocating, right, whether it was local aid or Chapter 70 education funds. So I decided to do something about it. I decided to run for office, even though I'd never been involved in politics before. And I ended up winning that long shot race in 2010, getting up to Beacon Hill and finding out that it was worse than I thought. They were trying to have our gas tax indexed to inflation to go up every year automatically without a vote, even though we knew that there was plenty of money to go towards transportation. They just wanted the taxpayers to fork over more without any accountability. So I led the ballot question to repeal that. We won that in 2014, saving billions of dollars to taxpayers. What's happening now is we've received pandemic money to the tune of about $5 billion from the federal government, and $4 billion of it was spent in the middle of the night I say middle of the night, literally they do these in the evening when there's no roll calls. There was zero amendments. There was zero debate about this. And they ended up spending $4 billion. I can tell you, I thought that, you know, a pickleball court in Beverly for $200,000 was not part of what we needed for the pandemic relief. I thought what we needed was small businesses getting help with unemployment insurance. We spent in the state about $7 billion to pay people to not go to work. And so these businesses were struggling. There was no workers. They weren't sure if they were going to make it. 40% of restaurants didn't make it, Kevin. I think you probably talked to people who had a tough time making it through the pandemic.
I did.
And now we're having a tough time finding people to work. You know, my opponent talks about needing more businesses to for more jobs. It's actually the opposite. We need to get people into these companies to work. If you talk to anybody right now, they cannot get people into the labor force.
A lot of help wanted signs.
Help wanted everywhere. It's a jobs, the jobs problem is actually filling the jobs, not creating them. So anyway, what's happening on Beacon Hill is it's the same thing. They've got $3.6 billion in unexpected tax revenue this year. And this is not the first year in recent years that they've been collecting more taxes than they estimated they were going to collect. They should be returning that back to the people. I want to give it directly back to the people in the form of, for right now, lifting the excise tax. And I'll tell you why I want to lift the excise tax on cars is because right now, obviously, fuel is just absolutely through the roof. So anybody trying to get a more fuel-efficient car or maybe a hybrid or maybe an electric car, let's help them. Let's give them back some of that $3.6 billion and help get people into those cars by getting rid of that barrier, that excise tax that makes people not want to buy a new car because that next year you get that huge whopping bill from the state just to own a new car, right? And it goes down over the years. Anyway, the point is there's a lot of ways to fix this, and what I think Governor Baker, I'm recommending he do, is reject the pork spending that is now in front of him. And the other thing that just happened today, too, just happened at the end of last week, basically, is that the Democrats brushed aside, the Democrat-controlled majority in the House and Senate brushed aside his bill that tried to provide, you know, violence, you know, domestic violence solutions. You know, I think Governor Baker said it was one of the most signature things he wanted to get done before he left office, and it basically died. And so my commitment is to pick up that domestic violence bill once I'm governor and try to move it forward and have hope that the legislature is actually listening to the people of Massachusetts.
Again, if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Jeff Deal. He is a Republican gubernatorial candidate. He's here to give us an update as to how things are going on the campaign trail. You had a political forum last week. I listened to it. I know that there have been winners
declared.
So
you're an informed voter. That's excellent.
I'm an informed voter, but I thought it was kind of, I think it was kind of down the middle. I felt that it was a forum that was down the middle. I don't know. It's tough when one side or the other says, I won, or even if other participants
all won. I'm hoping for is that the voters win. I think the voters of the Republican Party will obviously determine who they think is the best candidate. If the convention back in May is any indicator, I won that 71%, and I think that Republican voters of the state know that they can trust me. I've had their back when it comes to tax issues in the past. I've supported Republican candidates like Charlie Baker. I've supported Republican candidates like President Trump. My opponent voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016. He has yet to explain why he thought she was a better choice in 2016 than the president that gave us the record unemployment numbers for, you know, 50-year low, gave us energy independence, gave us a withdrawal of troops from wars that were no longer serving the national interest. I thought we had some of the best 4 years until Biden came into office, but evidently my opponent thought otherwise, and so I think he still has to explain to people, and I didn't hear it in that debate.
I was going to ask you, what do you feel were the moments that you shined best and you were able to get out your message? Can you recall?
No, I don't think there's any moment that I shine. I'm out on the campaign trail pretty much every day talking to people about what's important to them. I've always wanted to reflect what I think they need, whether it was when I was in office or whether it was it's now, you know, out there on the campaign trail listening to them and trying to make sure they know, like I said, I'm going to have their back, even if it's unpopular. I was kicked off of committees by my own Republicans up on Beacon Hill, and I'm proud of that. That's a badge of honor to me because it wasn't those people that I was working for. It was the 40,000 people that elected me from Abington, Whitman, and East Bridgewater that I was responsible to, and they returned me to office four times, or they sent me to office four times. The last two unopposed, knowing that even if I was getting punished by those up on Beacon Hill, it was because I was fighting for them. When the Olympics were going to come to Massachusetts, the 2024 Olympics, it was going to be a huge boondoggle. I was the one that filed the bill to say no taxpayer dollars for it.
Right.
A couple weeks later, it went away. You know, I'm the one that filed the bill that said term limits for the speaker and for the minority leader after the speaker removed them, even though he had put them in earlier when he first became speaker, Bob DeLeo. I like Bob, but he was basically making it speaker for life. I said, that's not the way things are supposed to be on Beacon Hill. I filed the amendment to the rules that year. And again, you get punished, but it's okay. Because you know what? I ended up running for U.S. Senate against Elizabeth Warren. I was the nominee over two other Republicans. I think people see me as a champion of what's important to them. I think this year is the year that people say, you know what? He has been fighting for us for a long time. It's time for a change on Beacon Hill. And Maura Healey is not the person that's going to lead this state to better recovery from the pandemic. It's going to be a guy who owns a small business from the South Shore, who he and his wife put their life savings into. They grew it. And he also... business owner, and someone who has that experience in government, knows how Beacon Hill operates. I was on the Ways and Committee. I know how the money should be allocated in the state. I want to let state workers do their job. I don't want to be a governor that brings in consultants all the time and basically overrules what they think is the best way to get things done. That's the only way to get things like the MBTA fixed, because they know how to make things work. But we had a governor in Deval Patrick that brought in a Chinese company to make the train cars, and they're the ones that are failing right now. We have workers right here in our state that know exactly how to build things and get things done. We need to listen to our state's workforce. That's what I'm going to do.
What are you said you've been out there listening to the voters. What are they telling you at this stage of the campaign? What are some of the things that are vital to them that they want you to invoke change if you take office come November?
Well, obviously, the economy is huge. I mean, with the recession that we seem to be entering into, with the inflation the way it's at, we've got to make sure that we're making better fiscal decisions. And I'll tell you what, that federal relief money is going to dry up soon. And within a few years, the state's going to be in a position where if we don't turn it around with businesses like Smith & Wesson's leaving Western Massachusetts, Raytheon's headquarters are moving to Virginia, if we don't stop the exodus of businesses out of Massachusetts, we will have an economic problem of funding what we need as a state to deliver the services. And I think that that's one major concern. Parents having a voice with their kids' education is another big thing, right? Mm-hmm. School boards were very reluctant to listen to parents. They still are, to listen to parents in open forum. And if you do go into open forum and you start talking about things that are sensitive to the school board, they shut you down. They go back to Zoom meetings. It's ridiculous. Parents are concerned about curriculum that's inappropriate for young kids. You know, sexual preference stuff that is better left in the hands of parents to talk about. You know, that's one of the things I'm hearing from folks. The other thing, too, law enforcement. They need to be respected. The men and women that suit up in blue every year, and we're only 2 weeks, I think, past the anniversary of the death of Michael Chesna, the police officer from Weymouth who was killed. Those anniversaries are terrible because they remind us of exactly how dangerous it is for police officers and for the law enforcement in general community. And yet we have politicians that still talk about defunding the police, literally defunding the police. It's the opposite with me. We're going to make sure that law enforcement has the tools to do their job, and we're also going to let them loose to go after the drug dealers. The fentanyl that's coming into our state right now has caused us to have the largest overdose death in the history of Massachusetts. Yeah. The history. We've had the most overdoses.
Still an epidemic.
So I'm going to make sure law enforcement is unleashed to do their job, too. We've got to make sure that the people of Massachusetts are protected, have a better future. And we had 50,000 people leave our state last year. We got to make sure they can afford to stay here. I'm going to be working on that.
I got 3 minutes left before we have to do the form, but I got to ask you two more questions. One has to do with your plea to the current attorney general to take action in regards to folks who are out there getting signatures regarding the repeal of the illegal immigrant driving law. And I also want to find out what else you're going to be working on over the next couple of weeks. But you put out an appeal asking the attorney general to do something in regards to folks who are actually threatening folks. Violence.
Yeah, we've got volunteers out collecting signatures to repeal immediately the law that just passed that was overridden. Governor Baker was overridden on this. Mm-hmm. The concern was that people who are here illegally getting driver's licenses opens the door to several problems. One is the fact that the RMV that's empowered to give them those licenses, it really doesn't have the capacity or the ability to properly vet those people. We had thousands of out-of-state suspended licenses that weren't processed by the RMV, and now they're supposed to be able to check sensitive documents to make sure somebody is who they say they are. And that second part of the problem is that if you get that mass driver's license, in a 2020 law, the state now makes it that you're automatically enrolled to vote. And that means that somebody who's here illegally and may not be who they are is now going to have a license and be able to vote. That's a problem with election integrity. So it touches a lot of things. I want Maura Healey to make sure that those folks are protected, because right now they are getting harassed. Sheets are being ripped up. People are being verbally abused. It's tough. And these people are just exercising their First Amendment rights to collect signatures. So I'm all for making sure that we have that on the ballot in November.
We've got a minute left here. Folks want to find out more about your campaign, or if you got any stops that are coming up in the next week or two, Please share that, if you will, as we go out.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think what's really exciting is on August 10th, Kristi Noem, governor of South Dakota, is going to be flying into Massachusetts. She'll be at the home of Ernie Bach Jr.
Nice.
And she will be there on behalf of my campaign and making sure that people are supporting it and are aware of it. And I tell you what, I mean, Kristi Noem, I think, is someone who may be in the mix for the 2024 election cycle, so it certainly should be exciting. But people can go to jeffdiehl.com, the same old standby website, GeoffDiehl.com, to get information on where I'm going to be, because we put a schedule up every week, to get information on how they can volunteer. Or if you want to be generous enough to donate, we obviously need the funds to get the message out there between now and November. So I thank you, Kevin, for that opportunity.
Well, thank you for coming in studio. And we'll definitely try to have you back in before the primary. And speaking of primaries, we got a political forum coming up in just a few moments
here. Good
luck
with that, and thank you for having me on.
You got it. The Democrats for First Plymouth District State Rep coming up in just a few moments. You've been tuned into Monday Night Talk. Till next week at 6:15 p.m., we'll get to another abbreviated show. But till then, stay tuned for the political forum.